Next, drugs, power, and a president accused of running a narco state. The United States has branded Venezuela's Cartel de los Soles a terrorist organization. Washington claims the country's president is at the center of it all. He says that's a lie. And with drug traffickers targeted by US military in the Caribbean, what does it all mean for the future of Venezuela? Well, Fionnuala Ní Eolain, a law professor at the University of Minnesota and Queen's University in Belfast, spoke to us earlier. First, she told me about the Cartel de los Soles.
It's a criminal organization. It's an old criminal organization that's been involved in drug trafficking, people smuggling, and other kinds of nefarious criminal acts. But it's now accused of being something else, and that is a terrorist organization by this US designation.
So it's accused of being a foreign terrorist organization. That came at the start of November. It took effect this week. So what's the impact of that decision?
Well, the impact is on two levels. One is sort of symbolic. This language of terrorism that's being like fused into kind of criminal regulation and regular law enforcement is doing something quite powerful symbolically. It's taking all of that power and language and structure that the US created after the Twin Towers attack in 2001 and channeling it all into the focus on these specific gangs, but more particularly on governments that they say are in league with these gangs. That's the symbolic piece. The practical piece is sanctions, bank accounts being listed, other kinds of financial and travel penalties for people who are associated, and potentially a risk that these people will be subject to arbitrary killing by the United States government.
And the framing of all this is so important because it's not just about a cartel now, it's about a narco-terrorist organisation or state, ultimately, when you consider the US see the Venezuelan president, Nicolas Maduro, having some connection with this.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, we're in the world of made-up words and made-up connections. And of course, but this isn't new for the United States. And in some ways, this is sort of extending as something that the US government has been doing for over two decades. When the US came up with the language of foreign terrorist fighter, when the US came up with the language of alien enemy combatant after 2001, these are like made up words, made up concepts that then kind of lean into international legal standards and then try to apply them to the political goals that the US has. And in this case, what they're really trying to do, and we see this in the press release from the White House, is use this language that we see in Security Council resolutions on peace and security, use this language that states have become accustomed to on terrorism, and actually funnel it into a political focus on undoing the Venezuelan state through this targeting of gangs and drug cartels, but also linking the leadership of that country with these gangs and cartels.
And those US claims linking the leadership, the Venezuelan president, with the cartels, how credible are they?
Frankly, there's no evidence that these links exist, and they exist rhetorically in the US government's press statements and legal actions. But if we look at the response of other states, and even, for example, the decision of the United Kingdom just very recently to stop sharing intelligence with the United States in the Caribbean. And the reason for that is fundamentally that no other state accepts this practice by the US and doesn't accept that actually these kinds of made-up legal categories and connections are in fact valid as a matter of international law.
Where does this go to from here?
Well, I think the worry would be is that what we're seeing is the US behaving like a rogue state, that these rules that we have about how one behaves on the high seas, these rules that we've had, and those are centuries old rules, these rules that we have about the use of force, which are set down in the UN Charter, that say that you cannot use force against another country in the way that the US is doing. The rules that we have under international human rights law about the protection question of the right to life. I mean, think of these strikes, which many of international lawyers, including myself, have described as simply lawless, arbitrary killing, murder on the high seas. This is the kind of action that the US is engaged in. And we should worry about that. We should worry about the use of force. We should worry that the prohibition on the use of armed force is being essentially destroyed by the United States. And the risk is that other countries will take these made-up rules and these made-up concepts, and they will use them to their own ends. And that was what we saw after 9/11, when the US did this on things like detention. And the fear is we're going to see this on the use of force now.
How do you see this playing out diplomatically, financially, even militarily?
Militarily, I think, is the most significant concern right now. We're seeing a massive buildup of US military force in the Caribbean. We are seeing language from the US president that suggests regime change. The world has been here before. We saw it in Iraq. We saw it in Afghanistan. That didn't go so well for the US. And so I think the immediate concern is forced regime change by the US government in Latin America.
So at this stage, what should the international community be doing?
The goal here, even if it seems like insufficient in terms of a response to the military action of the United States, is to insist on the rules. Because if we continue to do that, we continue to maintain the integrity of these norms and, in a sense, wait for the consequences of these actions to hit home for the United States, as they inevitably will.
Law Professor Fionnuala Ní Éalón there. It's now 7:25.